I just really wanted to share some thoughts this morning, mainly. And there's quite a lot of plagiarism this morning, because as I've been thinking about what to say, I've been reflecting back on some of the things that has been said in the fellowship over the last sort of 6 to 8 months or so. So, you know, I hope that what we've got to go through is going to help us in our thinking about togetherness. And my first bit of plagiarism is from Joe Pilkington. Actually, I don't know if Joe is on Zoom. I don't think she's here. But Joe has got a tremendous gift of sharing, and she did our prayer points a week or so ago, and I found them really, really helpful. And I wanted to read the one from last Sunday, actually. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. And these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Come, come to Jesus and live. Love is here in Saltersford Church family. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith to move mountains but have not love, then I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. And it always perseveres. Love never fails. And then Joe wrote this: O Lord, let there be a love impartation straight from heaven among your sons and daughters. May there be a Pentecostal fire that burns so brightly amongst your people. Lead us, Jesus. Guide us, Jesus. Then may there be a love revival, Jesus, that guides people straight to you. Jesus, give us a love and heart for the lost, Father. O Lord, we lift you high. Be magnified, O waymaker, miracle worker, promiser of keeping light in the darkness. Amen. 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 Dave, where's Dave? Dave, come and share 1 second on the word of love.
Back in 2013, God prompted a team of us to start up a community cafe to serve the local community and the needy. Unfortunately, with the advent of COVID, we haven't been able to run it. But in that time, I've had quite a few members of the community, local community, and clients asking me, when are you going to restart? When are you going to restart? A lot of people in the church have said to me, don't give up. Keep praying. One of the things that God always says, love. The last day, could you? Community, last week, togetherness today. God loves his people. And one of the things that we did put on the note on the door of the cafe so that people could see it is this cafe is giving in love for you. Please keep praying. Let's hope that we can start winning the cafe soon. God bless you all. Thank you.
My prayer is not for them alone. I pray for those who will believe in me through the message, that all of them may be one. I think we've already heard that once this morning. when Andy shared about the vision some months ago, he brought us this verse and said, clearly unity is important. But what does it look like? It's certainly not imposed religious services. It's not to do with church politics or enforced meetings. Rather, it's believers coming together to live out what it means to be followers of Jesus. It's about accepting each other, no matter what our background or status or maturity of faith, and welcoming those who are different from us, especially those who have as yet do not have faith whatsoever. This also means that Saltishood must be a place where we can just be without having to do, valued for who we are and not what we offer. We need to be a safe place for people who are broken and worn down and needing help. You know, that's what we want, isn't it? You know, Dave just shared about the community cafe and the love that comes to that community cafe. And, you know, I used to come here on a Friday and the energy through the food bank and the community cafe was fantastic. And seeing the love of Jesus being poured out into people's lives. And these verses here from James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. It's a great passage about wisdom. But in the Message version, this really sort of rung true as I was thinking about this. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, first of all, begins with a holy life. It's about us. It's about our lives. It's about our purity. If we want to live as a united together fellowship, actually, this is important, our individual holy lives. But it's characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honour. You know, it can be hard work, can't it? You know, we've said it, I think Andy said it last week, we are so different. You know, I've got different views to many people about different things that are in here. Probably wouldn't agree with many of you, you know, on many, many different things. But the one thing that we have united is Jesus and our love for Jesus. And as Susanna has said, if we can magnify that, then all of a sudden everything else becomes smaller. So let's magnify Jesus in all that we do. Because Jesus gave the new commandment. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. It can be hard work. And you know, last week, Andy was talking about waves, and I've spoken to a few of you who really sort of caught the wave of the waves, if you like, and really sort of saw that picture and thought, that's really good. And there's waves that God does at separate times. And I know for a number of people involved, for example, in Toddlers and Splatter Day at the moment, they're sensing a real wave of God's Spirit working with us. You know, when the toddler doors open and the leaders were there and they're all having a good old bicker because someone thought they were doing coffee and someone else thought they were meant to be doing that and they didn't want to do this, what impression would that give? You know, first impressions last. Many years ago, and it's not related to anyone here now, but I did something really stupid on a Sunday morning. I said something out of place to somebody, and I didn't even think about it, quite honestly. And then we used to organise the weekends away for the young people. And I remember very vividly, it was a very tough time for me, because my sister-in-law had just found out that she'd got cancer again for the second time, and it was, you know, really, really tough time. And I was not looking forward to the weekend away, if I was honest about it. And I met up with this person, and I felt there's this tension going on. And I said, is everything okay? He said, well, of course not. don't you realize what you said to me 2 months ago, whenever it was, really hurt me? And I thought, wow, you know, no, I didn't. And I didn't even think I'd hurt you. And this had been festering. And I know that if we'd carried that on to the start of the getaway, we'd have all got down there, maybe even in the car park over there before we left. The tension would have been there, you know. And the beautiful thing was we could pray together. We could, you know, what I did was wrong and it was still wrong, but we could sort of talk it through. And, you know, I can remember that the getaway was, as they normally were, was a fantastic time. But, you know, those first impressions last. And if we want to have that ministry that we talked about last week, then the love for each other is going to be important. Because if it isn't, people will see straight through us. They see straight through if we don't have that integrity, if we don't have that genuineness as a fellowship. So let's catch that wave together. Because, you know, a wound that is left untreated is going to cause an infection. It's going to spread. And, you know, we've got to cleanse it, we've got to sterilize it, and we've got to catch it early so that it doesn't go all septic and horrible. And you know what can happen when someone says something to you, or something happens at work, or, you know, something really gets to you, and it can sort of build up and it can get bigger and bigger. And when Susanna and I were sort of preparing, there was a book called Forgive for Good. It's not by a guy called John Luskin. And he talks about developing a grievance story. And, you know, someone does something that you don't really appreciate. And think of it like an aeroplane. You're sitting on the runway on this plane. And all of a sudden, you know, this little thing can get bigger, and maybe you bring a couple of passengers on board and you talk to them about it. And you sort of say, oh, this happened and that person did that to me. And they say, oh, yeah, that's really bad, isn't it? And all of a sudden it goes down the runway, it gets speed and it takes off. And you're now flying with this grievance, and you've got this grievance story on this grievance plane, and you just can't put it down. You can't put it away. And however hard you try to land that plane, something happens. Someone says something, an email comes in or whatever, and whoosh. You know that, have you seen those pictures where a plane is coming to land in the wind and it's just coming down, and all of a sudden the pilot at the last minute takes off again and goes back up. It just feels like that. It can be so difficult to land that plane of grievance. And it can be a small issue. But these things get bigger and bigger, and every time you try and land that plane, you just find it hard to do. And, you know, we could take this analogy so far, but ultimately you've got to force the plane to land. Because if you're holding grievances within the fellowship here, then that's going to affect how we can glorify God. We've got to get that plane to land. You know, and I had an example of this on Friday. I've been obviously thinking about this, and I had a whole file of emails of something that had been troublesome to me. And I thought, right, I've got to do something. And I know this plane will come back again. It's there. But I deleted a whole file of emails and files just because I thought that's something I can do to shove into the ground to say, look, I don't want this to define me. I don't want it to be important. So I just want to encourage us today. And maybe in church life, it may be in some other walk of life. But, you know, we're going to come to communion in a minute. And I've deliberately put the cross behind the communion table. Just think of this as the runway of forgiveness, if you like. You know, if you've got something that you need to bring to the Lord this morning and say, I've got to get rid of this because it's stopping my relationship with people within the fellowship, it's stopping my other relationships, then land it to the cross. Put it there and say, Jesus, I want to hand this over to you. Because these things are important. These are the things that prove whether we are genuine or not. But what does togetherness look like? Well, maybe think back to those perilous waters that Jamie and I were covering earlier. You know, that sort of where you put your arm around somebody, where you help them along, where you support them, where you've got one purpose together, where you're patient. You know, Jamie was being so slow up along there. I had to be patient with him to get him to go along a bit quicker. You know, it can sometimes be so frustrating, can't it? Where we don't judge. We don't prejudge. We put others before ourselves. We follow Jesus' example. Another vision that somebody had as we've been thinking about, you know, the future of Saltersford was that picture of the sink full of pots. I think it maybe mentioned a week or so ago, I'm not sure. But the tap is overflowing. You've got all these pots of different sizes. Some are broken, some are beautiful. They're all filling up. And the word that was given was, don't prejudge the pot. You know, let's be a church that welcomes, accepts people just as they are without judging them. You know, within the fellowship and for those people coming through the doors as we try to as we reach out to them. Because we have a new commandment that we love one another as Jesus loved us. We must love one another. But by this, everyone is going to know that we are his disciples if we have love for each other. Jesus' love was sacrificial. It was compassionate. He put all of humanity before himself. So in a moment, Danny and Suzanne are going to come and lead us in communion. But as we do, let's prayerfully cast our mind to Calvary. Let's sing a song, and I'd encourage you, you know, maybe you want to kneel down, maybe you want to kneel at the cross, maybe you just want to look at the cross, maybe you just want to close your eyes and listen to the words. But let's come to the cross at Calvary, and let's say, Jesus, together we want to be in your family. We thank you for what you've done for us.